Good morning, everybody. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we're just going to read one verses through 1 through 19. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for illuminating your word to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to be not only hearers, but doers. We just ask this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wiser hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and a pendant for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way of them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They sit in ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So this morning, we're just going to focus on verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Probably all heard this before, and it's nothing new. But at the same time, verse 5 covers that. Because verse 5 says that even as the wise are wise, they need to continue to be wise and to understand things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This verse is what sets the tone for the rest of Proverbs. If you were to summarize the book of Proverbs, you can just quote this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And of course, the book of Proverbs is an instruction to live a wise life. A life that is pleasing to God. And we looked at that last time, that this is a poetic book. It uses different means to get the truths across. Not like the most of the other Bible, which is straightforward in instruction. What it means to live a wise life, we do read it differently. There are various ways to learn something, using paradoxes, symbolisms, similes, common sense and parallelism, all different ways to teach the truth. Instead of saying you're lazy, quit sitting on the couch, you good for nothing, says in Proverbs 6:9, says, how long you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. It uses different styles to bring home the truth, which we talked about last time. Proverbs is the gospel. It is good news. It's good news for the simple-minded, and it's good news for the wicked. It points to us the wisdom, who is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 26, or chapter 26, for consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the... God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. According to this, we could say the fear of Jesus Christ is the beginning of wisdom. You can't think about wisdom without thinking about Jesus Christ. Now, we have a title in verse 1 of Proverbs. And verses 2 through 6 give us the purpose of the book, so we can be instructed. Even if you are wise in the Lord, verse 5 says, you need to increase your understanding. We are always will learn, no matter how long you have been a Christian. And verse 7 is the gate on how to get there, how to get wisdom. Regarding verse 7 of Proverbs, there are three questions you have to answer. Who is the Lord? What does this fear mean? And how is this the beginning? First, who is this Lord? This is the word Yahweh. In Isaiah it says, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing. This is what we would call theology proper. When you think of the Heavenly Father, what comes to mind? He is the creator, sustainer, immutable, meaning that he doesn't change. James 1:7 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Or we have in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Lord is almighty. He is non-created. He is eternal. He is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even when Moses asked, who should I say sent me? He said, I am. It's the verb to be, which is, I am God, the only true and living God. All your gods, the Egyptian gods, are fake. They're false. He is self-existent, which means not depending for anything for his existence. But he reveals himself. He moves the planets, names the stars, etc. When you think of the Lord here, you think of him in these terms. And there are many more. He gives you the breath you breathe. He orchestrates the movement of the stars, the universe. He is love. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is wrath. He is holy, etc. You can take semesters. You can read volumes of books on who God is. But you get the idea. This is the Lord Proverbs is talking about. This is the Lord whom we fear. Second question, what is this fear? For it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of knowledge. It's not terror, not to be terrified, the reaction of the guilty or running away in despair. There is a right way to be terrified of the Lord. It is the fear of the guilty. Those that try to run. The fear of being caught. But this isn't that kind of fear here. The word fear is the Hebrew yirah. And that word can be translated into dread. It could be translated into terror. But in the context here, and in biblical terms, the biblical word has much broader dimension than our English word fear. Because no one is drawn to someone they dread. This is a fear that draws you towards with adoration and respect. This fear needs a knowledge of the Lord, a trust of the Lord. And it could easily be translated the love of the Lord, or the trust of the Lord, a reverence of the Lord, serving the Lord. It is what Moses says in Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep my commandments and statutes of the Lord. And ask the question, why? It continues on, which I am commanding you today for your good. Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the sin of death. So don't think fear is dread. Think loving awe. Full of awe. This type of fear is a delight, as you want to be with your Lord. This type of fear is not natural. It's supernatural. We must be brought to this kind of fear. Just look at the world around you, and the news. What's going around us? The natural man is an enemy of God. They do not have a desire to be with the Lord. And we are brought to this fear by the Holy Spirit. Think about your own self. And we are brought to this fear. We are brought to this fear when we realize that God has made us for himself. We realize we are made in his image, but because we have sinned, we have gone astray and are missing all that he has provided for us, all our privileges. This fear, which is the beginning of knowledge, when we discover that God loves us in our sinfulness and in our rebellion, it is the grace of God that this fear, not the fear to run away from God, but to run towards him. The fear that trusts, the fear that loves, the fear that makes us obey him. Not in an external list of do's and don'ts, but when we realize that the law is written in our hearts, we obey them because we are a child of God. Because we are a new creation, it comes from a new heart. By the grace of God, he has given us. Now, how is this the beginning of knowledge? It is like a gateway. It is like knowing God is perfect and you are not. The more you know God and the more you know yourself and how far apart you are, as long as you are proud, you cannot know God. I've been listening to C.S. Lewis, The Mere Christianity. And he says that a proud man is always looking down, and if you are always looking down, you cannot see who is above you. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. which is what the end of Proverbs 7 says. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The beginning is not just the start. It is the controlling aspect of knowledge. It is wrapped up in the fear of God. It is what gives us the understanding of all we learn. And you find a summary of this at the end of Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What does that mean? The fact that this is not natural, supernatural, is by the grace of God. Just the fact that you are all here is a sign that the goodness of God and His grace, that you want to know and hear the things about God. That's not natural. For this is the beginning. But what is this knowledge? It is not just a knowledge about, but a knowledge of relationship. It affects all our mind, our emotion as we respond, our will as we obey. This knowledge impacts us as God reveals Himself as a friend of sinners. But until you realize that we're all sinners, Proverbs would not mean anything to us. We stay as we are. We stay in the verse, and this knowledge doesn't mean much to us, and we remain fools. We have no knowledge. In this context, it doesn't mean you don't know anything. It means you don't know God. The knowledge of God's grace. James talks about an earthly wisdom and a heavenly wisdom. And fools actually say no to all this. They despise wisdom. They despise instruction. This does not mean mental and intellectual simple-mindedness. You can have a doctorate in anything, but if you don't fear God, if you don't know God, you're a fool. Psalm says that a fool sets in his heart there is no God, and we are, by nature, foolish. Did you know that before Darwin came out with his plausible origin of life, most scientists and philosophers believed in a creator? You have Stephen Hawking wanted to prove that there was no God, but he couldn't. Look at our world today. We are at a height of moral and spiritual confusion. I think we have all had some sort of education, whether it be public school or private school. Whether we were privileged to have an education with a biblical worldview, some of you might have had prayer in school. And I remember celebrating Christmas and Easter in the public schools that I went to. And then I went to a so-called Christian college. And maybe one class. I had Life and Letters of Paul, which was good. But all the other stuff, I had to unlearn a lot of stuff I learned in college. If Nan and I were to have had kids, I wonder what our discussion would be on how to raise our kids. To send them to private, go to public school, or to homeschool. I'm not sure what would have taken place, because I know desire and ability are two different things. I've heard both arguments from both sides. From a Christian parents who have debated the topic. And with our schools becoming more and more secularized, I'm more concerned of what our youth are being taught today. Most of you are probably done raising your kids, maybe not. But some of you might have grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And the reason I bring this up is because in the context of Proverbs, it's a father-to-son conversation.
But the conversation of education in our culture is a hot topic today. And schooling or education, what our nation provides, is really overvalued. Now, I looked up 10 reasons why education is important. So just kind of listen to these. This is a worldly sense here. One, it provides stability. Two, provides financial security. Three, needed for equality. Four, allows for self-dependency. Five, makes your dreams come true. And six, a safer world. Seven, confidence. Eight, a part of society. Nine, economic growth on a national level. And 10, it can protect. Then I looked up what maybe some of the leaders of this country said. This is from George H.W. Bush. Think about every problem, every challenge. We face the solution to each starts with education. Ulysses S. Grant says, leave the matter of religion to the family altar, the church, and the private school, supported entirely by private contributions. Keep the church and the state forever separate. Truman said, if peace is to endure, education must establish the moral unity of mankind. He also said, education is our first line of defense in the conflict of principle and policy which divides the world today. America's hope, our hope, the hope of the world, is in education. Then you have Nancy Reagan's in the 80s, just saying no to drugs. Educate children to say no. This is worldly wisdom, a knowledge without the fear of God. For if education unites, if it gives hopes, solves every problem, makes the world safer, gives security, then why is drug use on the rise? Why is there more shootings? Why is there more suicides? Does higher education satisfy the hunger for the meaning and purpose? In Western culture such as ours, who has so much information, so much education, and yet there is so much division. As a culture, we are highly educated. We have more opportunity to be educated than most other cultures. If education is the answer, then why is crime rampant? Why are there more people less satisfied, morals declining, more dread of the changes? We are educated in racism, and yet there are still problems. We have so-called sex education, and look at where we're at in that. We're now on the point of stupid. The science, the politics, are all not getting any better because of education. Why? There's no fear of God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And when there's no fear, people, families, schools, communities, churches, and nations are on a course of foolishness, governed by their own deprived minds. Which is what the Bible says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Education without the fear of the Lord is foolishness. It will not equip you for life, and it will not prepare you for death. And it is to pass this on to your children. It is never too early to teach children to fear the Lord. Parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, need to constantly enforce what the Bible teaches in contrast with what the world is teaching. For the world's view challenges and takes apart what is fundamentally true and necessary for the understanding of life, death, sex, marriage, money, power, politics, ecology, relationships, and how we understand everything. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of this. If this foundation is not there, then folly. Now we have some newborns coming into our family. Two great nephews are to arrive in 2024. We hope to have an impact on them, but we also have to have a biblical view of these children. What does the Bible say about children? Psalm 58:3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies." Isaiah 48:8 says, "From before birth, you were called a rebel." I know you only gave birth to angels, but that's not what the Bible says. They need instruction. They need guidance. The world might think they are a blank slate, that they are neutral, and their environment is them. But Romans chapter 5 says that we inherit the sin of Adam. We are born sinners, sinners that need to be trained. The biggest concern for your children should be for their conversion, not their career, because they are going to live forever somewhere. Not to hammer it down their throat, but to nurture them in the fundamental truth of the fear of the Lord. I'm not a parent, but just an observation. As I see young parents let their kids get away with their own agenda all the time, they get their own menu, their own phone, their own computer, unsupervised. They get their own schedule. I point out when they get older, and I hear this too now, all these labels that they get, they use those labels as excuses not to be responsible for their own actions. Now, I might sound like an old person complaining about the next generation, and I know things change culturally. That doesn't change the foundation of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It could be that parents fear the rebuke of the culture more than fearing the Lord. Which I get why we don't see parents spanking their kids in public anymore. I heard on the Christian radio a man from Canada who went to jail because he wouldn't let his underage daughter go through hormonal therapy for a sex change. The culture's against the fear of the Lord. Education and grace are two separate things, but education with the fear of the Lord can be an example of or a way to administer God's grace. Moses instructed the people in Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You will bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Which is saying raising children is a full-time job. I know when Nan and I have children from other families as guests in our home, whether it is the youth group or our young family, we want them to know that we believe God's instruction as such. But be encouraged. If you look down in Deuteronomy verse 20, it says, "When your sons ask you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, 'We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh, and all his household before our eyes. This is God's plan, that children learn without fully understanding. We are to teach them these things all day long. How we love our spouse, as we drive, how we work, how we go to church, how we serve in the church, how we serve the community, how we love one another, how we give generously. Teach them these things. And sometime in the future, they will ask, what does all this mean? And then you can tell them. I think we err sometimes in that we want results right away. We want them to end right now, but it might take time. Children are to be taught at an early age so that they have a foundation, so that when the time comes, they ask the question later. You might have to wait 15, 25, 40 years or more. You might have to wait until the time after you die, until that time comes. Here's an example of the influence of a mother to his son. Listen to what Augustine says about his mother Monica thanking the Lord. You put forth your hand from on high, and you drew my soul out of that pit of darkness. When before you my mother, your faithful servant, wept before me, then mothers weep over their children's deaths. By that spirit of faith which she had from you, she saw my death, and you graciously heard her. O Lord, graciously you hear her, and you did not despise her tears when they flowed down from her eyes and watered the earth beneath, in whatsoever place she prayed. And that's from Augustine's Professions. Augustine was a fool, and he despised instruction, and he confesses that. He hated education, but nevertheless he was drawn to it. But it was by the grace of God that God used Augustine's mother Monica and her instruction, her prayers, her tears, that eventually turned the light switch on. Another example is John Newton, who was a slave trader. When he faces death in the storms, he remembers his mother's teaching, his mother's words, and she died when he was 7. But he remembered the grace, and grace opened his blind eyes, and he saw the light. But you teach them. Parents can start too late, but they can never start too soon. We as a church in this world need to encourage each other that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, so that we can see unbelieving children committed followers of Jesus Christ. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your grace that gathers us together, that you even give us a desire to know your word, to know your son, to fear you. We pray that we can be good stewards and the doers of your words, and that for all the people that we have in contact, old, young, that we can not fear in a loving and gracious way. In your son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.